Chapter 4. Head Count. Despite the early hour, Captain Atari stood in the airlock, waiting for it to finish cycling the air. He adjusted the black eye patch over his left eye, then held his nose with one paw and popped his ears. The heat and additional pressure was unpleasant, but he really hated the sulfur. The air stank like engine exhaust and burned his remaining eye. The Giroux had evolved on a world nearly devoid of sulfur, while the Kraken homeworld was sulfur-rich. And though Kraken could endure a sulfur-free environment with minimal harm, Giroux exposed to even a moderate level of sulfuric compounds inevitably suffered an agonizing death. Most sulfuric compounds reacted violently with a Giroux's mucous membranes, burning their eyes, mouths, and lungs. Atari had witnessed such a death several times during his career. He had watched while doctors struggled to drain fluids faster than ulcerated lung tissue could fill them, a horrific race to keep patients from drowning in their own blood. The accidents were a senseless tragedy, a pointless loss of life each time they happened. Whenever Commissioner Sarsuk summoned the captain into a meeting, the Kraken set the atmosphere in his visitors' chambers to be a compromise between the air on KrakenTech and Gerutech, with sulfur levels so low that the captain quickly rebounded after each meeting, usually requiring little more than an hour of breathing pure oxygen and a single IV drip of drugs designed to help flush the sulfur from his system. Why they couldn't just meet via comlink or at a reasonable hour were other issues entirely. It could be worse, thought Atari. I only have to risk exposure a couple times a month. Not like the poor slaves living on KrakenTech, where each day's existence was a gamble. The bolts cracked open and the captain swung the heavy door aside. He steadied himself as he stepped onto the painted metal deck. A half dozen gravity generators, focused on the commissioner's guest chamber, their outputs phased to interfere both constructively and destructively. The effect on someone of Sarsuk's size was said to be quite pleasant, as if the Kraken rested on a cloud, but without all the unpleasantness that came with a low-gravity environment, the sensation of falling, and the challenges of getting traction when trying to move about. The modified environment was a high-tech alternative to loading the chamber with tons and tons of bedding that would be difficult to launder within the confines of a starship. For someone of Atari's height, however, the modified gravity wasn't so wonderful. The standing waves caused vertigo whenever he moved his head, and could lead to motion sickness during a long meeting. His comfort, however, wasn't among Sarsuk's concerns. The captain glanced around the cavernous chamber, prints of gloomy landscapes, for those who could not see infrared and ultraviolet at least, adorned the faux stone walls. "You wanted to see me, sir?" The commissioner ignored the tiny captain for a while, making him wait, pointlessly, while Sarsuk tapped the screen on his strand with a long, curved claw. Atari folded his paws behind his badly scarred back and waited patiently to be addressed. He craned his neck to look up at the commissioner's massive face, looming several stories overhead. "Are you aware," the commissioner began in the gurgling Kraken language, "of the conviction of Dr. Hetera?" "Of course," Atari replied in Giroux, nodding. "Our court is autonomous, but they report all convictions and crew issues to me." He shook his head slightly with regret. They came down on him with all four paws, a lifetime ban from medicine, and a 10-year sentence. Sarsuk ignored the captain again and began reading an excerpt of the report out loud. Atari grabbed his own communicator off his shoulder and pulled up the report. The witness, Ajira, 28, submitted to the court a secret recording of the suspect, Dr. Hetera, 45, requesting a sum of 10,000 credits to help her get pregnant, despite his knowledge that an additional birth token had not been obtained. Atari wondered what the doctor's plan had been. The ship only had 10,000 birth tokens, small encrypted files legitimizing a Jeru's existence. So it wasn't as if he could have created a fake token for her to use. Was he going to steal one for her? Or did he plan for the cub to go through life without one? Atari nodded somberly as he pretended to read along with the commissioner. He knew that Sarsak's copy of the report omitted that Ajira had tried to negotiate a much lower fee. In Atari's mind, the very fact that she had recorded the conversation proved that she was trying to blackmail the doctor for bargaining leverage. The doctor must have thought Ajira was bluffing. If left up to me, Atari thought, I'd have them both publicly flogged. He could have kept that from the commissioner entirely, and his crew wouldn't be down a doctor now. How in the names of the dead gods did you let something like this happen? Sarsak roared, making Atari's teeth rattle. The captain just shrugged. Everyone with power must battle with temptation. It is impossible to predict just who will become corrupted. Sarsak grunted dismissively. I don't care if your crew is corrupt. Atari folded his paws and stared blankly up at the commissioner, trying to mask the surprise from his ears. I don't care if you rule your people with an iron fist or let them vote on every issue, said the commissioner. I don't care if you worship the dead gods or the spirits of your ancestors. I don't care if this ship is a crime-free utopia or if you kill each other to get ahead. We don't tell you how to run your lives. The Kraken, like every civilized race in the galaxy, had laws governing their behavior. But from the commissioner's point of view, the Jeru were little more than insects scrabbling in the dirt. What one insect did to another was largely irrelevant to the Kraken. Commissioner Sarsak leaned slowly down so his scaly, sandy yellow face was mere centimeters from the furry Jeru. The jagged edges of his polished white teeth gleamed in the room's purple-tinted light. Planetary Acquisitions really only cares about the substantial investments we have made in this vessel and its mission. Specifically, that you take good care of our ship, that you research the planets we assign you to investigate, and that you obey the ship's biolimit of... He glanced back to the screen. 600,000 crew years. 10,000 crew with 60 years each. Sarsak ground his teeth together in frustration with a deep bass rumble that made Atari's fur bristle. If the little vermin are breeding without your control, then the whole vessel will death spiral right into uninhabitability. A gravelly edge entered the commissioner's voice, causing Atari's gut to clench. I will not lose one of my ships because you can't control your crew. Commissioner, Atari said, clearing his throat. The court convicted Dr. Hetera of conspiracy to circumvent ship protocol. There's absolutely no evidence that he or anyone else has ever helped someone reproduce without authorization, or that he even would have in this case. For all we know, he could have been trying to scam the victim out of her money without any intention of carrying through. He could have been plotting to surreptitiously divert a legitimate birth token. We don't even know if he could have done such a thing without us finding out about... Enough! Sarsak bellowed, opening his cavernous mouth so wide that Atari could have walked down the Kraken's throat without ducking. The word rang in Atari's sensitive ears. The captain made a show of adjusting his eye patch as he waited for his hearing to return. I do not need your could-haves or your should-haves, the enormous creature growled. There are stowaways aboard my ship. Stowaways? Yes, snapped Sarsuk. Anyone bred without proper authorization is just as illegitimate as had they snuck on board. Sarsuk's head hung in front of a Terry for a long while. The rotten meat stench of the creature's breath could not be ignored, but the captain refused to let it show. You will get me a list of everyone who has had the ability to enable procreation over the last 50 years. Yes, sir. A Terry tapped notes onto his strand. You will get me a log of every time that this has been done over the same period. Check. You will come up with options. Ways to detect that it has happened when your solutions fail me. A Terry kept his expression neutral. Check. You will take an exact headcount of your crew. You will estimate how badly you have exceeded the White Flower 2's bioload. You will calculate how much compensation will be required, and you will recycle as many of your crew as needed to ensure a rebound. Sarsuk stared at the little Giroux with his gigantic, slitted green eyes. I don't care if you have to save semen samples of all your males and reduce down to a skeleton crew of breeding-age females. I will not lose this ship. Sir. Atari swallowed. We perform a census every year. It has never, in the entire history of the mission, showed any deviation from our anticipated headcount. Of course it hasn't, Sarsuk replied immediately. No stowaways would include themselves in your census. You need to count them in a way that cannot be subverted. No. There was a perceptible pause before Commissioner Sarsuk replied, No? No, sir, Atari corrected himself. You've defied me twice before, Sarsuk said smoothly. The first time earned you 100 lashes. The second time cost you your eye. The commissioner reached down to tap Atari's eye patch, and the captain flinched away. Atari silently cursed himself for showing any fear. Just beyond the air's sulfurous stink, he could smell his own musk. His heart hammered inside his chest, refusing to slow back down until after Sarsuk pulled the massive talon away from Atari's face. The Kraken frowned. I wouldn't have given any other Giroux on board a second chance. And now you're daring to defy me for a third time? Do you know why I haven't recycled you yet? The commissioner didn't wait for a reply. Because it's bad for morale to recycle a ship's captain. Nothing more. You're not special, Atari. It would be bad for morale to reduce all of your males to frozen specimen jars, but I will order that too if you push me. Sir, you can recycle me if you wish. I'm not refusing an order because I do not wish to carry it out. I am refusing it because I'm incapable of carrying it out. Sarsuk pulled his head away from the Giroux in surprise. Atari was as brash as any captain, and captains never claimed to be incapable of anything. I don't believe that there are stowaways hiding aboard my ship, Atari explained. But if there are, the ship has no internal sensors to detect them, nor to give me a headcount any more precise than a manual census would. If I wanted an infallible headcount, I'd have to move the entire crew to the shuttle deck, and then search the rest of the ship for stowaways with only my most loyal officers. He straightened his back and stared straight ahead at the commissioner's taloned feet. Depressurizing the rest of the ship to clear it might be quick, but it'd cause irreparable harm to our bioload, so my officers would have to search, room by room, deck by deck, under every bed, behind every panel, inside every access tube. The process would take months, perhaps even years. The logistics of keeping the crew alive and fed during that time while no one is working is simply impossible. I assure you that the ship would be lost if we attempted such madness. Atari knew that Sarsic would never admit that he was wrong, so the Giroux waited in the prolonged silence, wondering if the enormous alien would just crush him and promote someone else to take his place. "Find another way," the commissioner said at last. "Yes, sir."